The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutton, and on the Breakfast Grill today is Tan Sri Bernard Dombok, Malaysia's ambassador to the Vatican. Thank you so much for joining us, especially as we're fast approaching Christmas Day.
Thank you very much, Sharad. My pleasure.
I want to begin with just giving some sort of historical background. His Holiness Pope Francis leads a congregation of some 1.2 billion, and the Holy See is the universal government of the Catholic Church, which operates from Vatican City, a sovereign independent territory. Now, in 2002, Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad visited the Vatican to meet Pope John Paul II, but it was during the visit of Prime Minister Najib Razak in 2011, meeting with then Pope Benedict XVI, that an agreement to establish diplomatic relations between the Holy See and Malaysia was finalized. Malaysia became the 179th state to establish diplomatic relations with the Holy See, and you, Tan Sri, became the first resident ambassador to the Holy See in 2016. Could you give us a sense of why the Malaysian government felt it was necessary to establish a diplomatic relations?
Well, I think it is part and parcel of Malaysia's growth as a nation. I think Malaysia wants to be in the world conversation on things, moderation, on the issues that affect the global humanity. And I think a lot of examples have been seen today when Malaysia has, in fact, and I think we should be talking about this a bit later perhaps, has successfully put up a resolution at the United Nations General Assembly in which Malaysia's assertion on a global community that takes part in a global movement of moderates was accepted by the United Nations. So I think it's in part and parcel of what Malaysia is trying to do, to present itself in the world that is certainly on track as far as advancing the rest of the world is concerned. And I think this requires Malaysia to be part and parcel of the conversation on global issues. The presence of the Vatican presents such an opportunity.
The question, I guess, would be, does the Malaysian government's self-perception as a moderate Muslim nation match the perceptions of others? Are we seen globally as a country that practices moderation?
Well, I think you're going straight into the issue. Certainly, it is something that people talk about, and I think, quite frankly, there's valid reason for it to be discussed, especially in the light of what is happening in Malaysia today. Is a big challenge in as far as moderation and things like this are concerned. But the hope, I think, for us is that we as a nation are prepared to discuss. And once you bring into the international stage a quest for moderation and to appeal to the world community that this is a way to go, then I think it places a big responsibility on you to do what you want other people to do. And I think that's the opportunity for us, that it is indeed a reminder to Malaysia that we now have this role. And I think we will be found wanting if we do not do something in our own backyard. But the hope is that since Malaysia is committed to this, I can only see that there will be a commitment to put things that are not right in the proper perspective.
Now, of course, Malaysia has made global headlines around certain issues, including the seizure of Malay language Bibles, the debacle over the use of the Arabic word Allah, especially for Christians from the states of Sabah and Sarawak, who have traditionally used that. And then, because historically, we have had this issue around the building of churches. And more recently, the push to advance Hudud laws by the ruling party, UMNO, and its ally, PAS. Is there concern in the Vatican about the direction that Malaysia is taking?
Well, you know, the Vatican faces all these type of issues, hard issues around the globe. And I think you know very well that Pope has just visited Myanmar and Bangladesh. And I think what we see in Myanmar today are much greater challenges. I think the point is taken that there indeed is something that can be put straight in Malaysia. And I feel that Malaysia, in fact, has grown a bit wiser than that, because if you look at the people in government and in the opposition, there are a lot of people with similar views. For example, there are people in government who are of the view that some of the issues should not have cropped up. And I think in opposition, too, there are a lot of sensible people too. So I think the nation is growing, and there's nothing much more healthy than having a conversation. And I think what Malaysia is doing on the world stage provides that opportunity for a vigorous conversation on how things are going to be in Malaysia.
Well, you, of course, are a representative of the Malaysian government, not the Christian community in Malaysia, whether they're Catholic or Protestant or all the many denominations of Christians. Christian Malaysians, how do they enter into this conversation as stakeholders? Do they go to, do Catholics, for instance, in the Catholic Church in Malaysia, do they try to achieve some sort of intercession through the Vatican, kind of working that way? Or do they come to you and the Malaysian government to advance their cause in terms of the kinds of concerns that they have?
I think there are many routes to this. I mean, in fact, as I see it here, Catholic Church, through President Pope, has gone into a lot of discussions with other Christian groups. This is called ecumenical discussion. And in fact, just recently, I had the great pleasure of meeting Dr. Herman Sastry, who has come to talk together with a group, two people in the Vatican, about intra-religious issues among the Christians. I think this is happening. I can see it happening all over the world. I see here now the Georgians, for example, organizing this type of discussions, and we participate. And I think there's a great amount of talking between the various Christian denominations here. In fact, I am ambassador to the Holy See as a Malaysian. I will represent the whole of Malaysia, and people who want to take up issues with me, to discuss with me, certainly I'm always prepared for them. In fact, a lot of other Christian friends who have been in touch with me from other denominations, and we are talking about some of the things that they bring up.
Tan Sri, in terms of how Malaysia presents itself on the global stage, I know there's an expression used in a moderate Muslim nation. Of course, that is also a term that's contested here. Many Malaysians would like to see, of course, recognizing that Islam is the religion of the Federation, but that Malaysia essentially is a secular, a multi-confessional, multilingual, multicultural society, and that they prefer that as the way of describing the country, not the expression moderate Muslim nation. What is the official government's position, how they want to be seen globally?
Well, I think my position is certainly that Malaysia is a secular nation. The constitution is secular, and I've always maintained this. And I present this view that Malaysia is a secular country. And I think this is how the policies should be guided. And if you look at what Malaysia has done in as far as presenting the latest resolution to the General Assembly, is concerned with this. Now, I think the problems in Malaysia, of course, and perhaps I should not be talking about this because I'm not at home, is that people tend to overlook the similarities that it's so much more abundant between various communities in Malaysia. I mean, if you look at the Bumiputras of Sabah and Sarawak, for example, and the Bumiputras in West Malaysia, they have a lot of cultural similarities. Also in religion, there could be some difference. But I think there's a lot more understanding than we are looking at the surface. And I think that perhaps this is an area that the concept of moderation will have to work harder. In fact, on my visits home, I've visited ministers of education. I certainly talked to Primes himself on this concept of moderation that we are proposing, that indeed, since we are promoting this, then I think we must have, we must be able to show that we are promoting it at home, in our own backyard. And so I think the ground is ripe for the country to talk about this, and this is something that we can only accelerate.
I'm speaking to Tan Sri Bernard Dompok, Malaysia's ambassador to the Vatican. Next up, we talk about the perennial call for peace and challenges to achieve it. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. If you just joined us on the Breakfast Grill today, with me is Tan Sri Bernard Dompok, Malaysia's ambassador to the Vatican. Tan Sri, I want to begin with something that you said earlier about the visit of His Holiness Pope Francis to Myanmar. He, of course, was criticized quite heavily for his failure to use the preferred term Rohingya. He since apologized for that, but he also apparently was... And this is in some reports in the media that he feared that if he used the term Rohingya, he would have compromised the security of the minority Christian community now threatened by Buddhist extremists. Has the Malaysian government been engaging the Holy See on the question of the Rohingya community and the problem there? Are you giving his input into that, considering Malaysia's very strong stand on the repression of the Rohingya in Myanmar?
I have had the opportunity to visit some of the Vatican officials before the Pope went to Myanmar, and to get a feeling of what is the purpose of the mission. And of course, the Pope, in his wisdom, has decided not to use the word Rohingya in Myanmar itself. And I think he has explained himself very well that he did not want it to distract from the discussions that. He would have been able to do without a protracted argument on some of the terminologies. Now, in as far as Malaysia is concerned, I think the world knows how Malaysia has felt about the Rohingya issue. It's well documented worldwide, and the Vatican knows that the feelings are high in some of the countries that see the suffering of the Rohingya people. And certainly they recognize that Malaysia has a view.
Now, if we could just focus a little bit on the Vatican itself. I'm going to quote from a prominent Italian commentator and author of several books on the Vatican, Massimo Franco. He says that under Pope Francis, the Vatican's foreign policy is looking south. Also, a former Italian foreign minister, Franco Frattini, said that His Holiness is someone who's capable of praying in the Blue Mosque in Istanbul, then talking about the Armenian genocide. He's not someone who's bound by political correctness. Has that been your experience in the Vatican, that under the leadership of Pope Francis, you see a much more kind of progressive, forward-looking, southbound foreign policy?
Oh, yes, certainly. The Holy Father has shown himself to be able to take controversies and to discuss and to make decisions that are hard. I mean, if you look at what has been happening within the church itself, and how the conservatives have been quite obstructive to him, in a sense. You'll know how much he wants to get involved in some of the issues that have to be solved. I think worldwide too, he has shown that. I mean, if you talk about the visit to Myanmar and Bangladesh, this is where the Catholic community is only nominal. But I think he places a greater interest on humanity as a whole. And I think this is the basis upon which he's working. He has, at one time, I think, been heard to say that if there were less learned people in the church, it would be much easier to achieve the ecumenical communications that the church should have among its various denominations. And so I think that is the way I see the Pope moving. I had quite a lengthy conversation with his press people recently, and they see that the Holy Father is moving on to see how the center of his approach is humanity itself. Even in Europe, for example, if you talk about Europe, the Church wanted the European community to accept that there is a creator in their constitution, that it has a Christian heritage. But I think so far this has not been heeded by the European Union. Of course, going east, going south, if you see the appointments that he had recently, over the last 2 years that I'm here. We had a cardinal from Malaysia for the first time. Cardinal Soto Fernandez was made a cardinal last year. We had a girl from Malaysia was baptized on Easter. She happened to be from Johor, formerly from Sabah and in Johor. And I think it's the first time that you had a Malaysian that was baptized by the Pope on Easter Day. So he is looking to the world to see how humanity can be at ease together and enjoying the progress that we should make.
Well, Tan Sri, the Financial Times has a much more a bleak assessment of where this is going. They say in an editorial that His Holiness looks like one of the losers, I'm quoting here, one of the losers from a rising tide of populism that's sweeping Western democracies. The brand of politics that has prospered over the last 12 months or so threatens his priorities, such as the fight against climate change and the better treatment of migrants. I wonder if we could just dwell on that for a little while, because while he has these progressive values, he's in a continent that's struggling with many questions around the issues of globalization, income inequality, and the push back against that. And there's a lot of reactionary and perhaps quite hateful speech now in Europe. From your vantage point, that this tide of populism is retreating, and do people like the Pope Francis have any influence on what's happening in Europe?
I do not speak of the Vatican. of course, I can only observe. And my observation is that the Pope is still a focal point for people who want to measure standards in their home countries. And if you see, when the European Union comes to Italy for meetings, the first port of call would be the Vatican to see the Pope, and he would give what he thinks should be addressed. So he's still really a focal point in a lot of the things that is happening in Europe, even though he does not carry the type of influence that I think you are expecting and that you're talking about. But the voice of the Pope and the Vatican is of moral suasion. Nothing that the Vatican can do with regard to enforcing anything, but it is a moral suasion and putting into the hearts of men, I think, the things that we should care about and that the world can benefit from. So the position, I think, in as far as the Vatican is concerned, is that it has not expected itself to have that type of influence. It can only talk and to show what it should be, and then it's up to the countries to measure themselves to it.
You know, in terms of the convergence between the agenda of the Vatican, the Holy See, and the Malaysian government, there are two points that perhaps are worth mentioning. One is the position of the Holy See on the question of the environment. And I believe in June 2015, an encyclical, which is a papal letter to all bishops, was published to protect the environment and time to influence the Paris Agreement. Because in some sense, he failed because America pulled out of that. Also, in terms of migration, there's been a call for a kind of humanitarian, a humanistic approach to the question of migrants. I believe also now the Holy See's position there is a bit more nuanced. He's emphasized the challenges of integration. Where does Malaysia stand in these global conversations?
Well, I think Malaysia, of course, is a small country. And its position in some of the issues are not given the coverage that it should have. But I think our position in a lot of these issues are quite in consonant with what the Vatican has on climate change. I think there's not much difference on the question of Palestine, for example. There's not much. We are not too wide apart. There's nothing that should prevent us from cooperating further. And then a lot of other issues in our approach to, the Pope is very much interested to see the immigrants community being given the proper attention they should. And I think Malaysia certainly has played an important part in seeing that immigrants in Malaysia are not to be despised and they're given a proper respect that is due to them. And so we continue to take part in this world conversation that I talk about, and a lot of this quite in tune with what the Vatican is proposing.
Now, finally, Tan Sri, your wishes for Malaysians this Christmas?
Well, I would like to wish all Malaysians, including you, merry, a blessed Christmas. It's time to rejoice. I hope that the years ahead will be good for us in Malaysia. There are many challenges that we face in this country, in Malaysia. And I think during Christmas, it's a time for us to recognize that we are in brotherhood with the rest of our fellow citizens in Malaysia, and that we should invite them to our celebrations. And therefore, I take the opportunity of wishing each and every one of our Christian Malaysians who are celebrating Christmas a very happy, blessed Christmas this year.
Thank you very much. I've been speaking to Tan Sri Bernard Dompo, Malaysia's ambassador to the Vatican. I'm Sharad Kutin, and this has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.